Morning, how we all doing? You understand my accent? It's not northern, it's not Californian, it's not Costa Rican. It's a mixture of everything, all right? Because I've been called a Yankee, I've been called a lot of things. As long as they don't call me late to supper, I'm good. I had to learn supper once again because we call it dinner. And I grew up on supper. My wife grew up on dinner. And so you have to make an adjustment. Being a missionary, you have to conform to where you're at. I do know one thing. I like North Carolina barbecue. That is delicious. Now, many folks, even people from here, they says, I don't care for it. I got introduced to it a week and a half ago. And they said, now, be careful putting the vinegar. How many of you don't like it? Oh, I feel bad for you. It's good. Vinegar is good for you. So they said, be careful putting the vinegar on it. So I put a little bit of vinegar on just to taste it. And then I bathed it in vinegar, where when you lift it up, it just drips off of there. And then afterwards, no one was looking around, and I still got a little bit of my childhood in me. I picked up the plate, and I drank the vinegar. It was good. It was good. And I asked for some more. And then hush puppies. They can't be healthy because they're so good. Is that something that's throughout the whole state or just in the northern part of northern North Carolina? Hush puppies are all good stuff, good stuff. You say, what do you talk about food? Food is something that we can identify with. Food is something, it's a common denominator in order to reach a culture. I'm talking to you from a little bit of experience. I know many of you are well-traveled, being affiliated with the military. Being a missionary, you have to accept people for where they're at and not try to convert them to where you're at. That's identifying with the culture. I can abase and I can abound. And I sure do like abounding with hush puppies and North Carolina. Keep that in mind this week. If you know a good place, everybody, before we get into the lesson, I want to mention, I asked a gentleman up there, his name was Butch. Anybody's name that's Butch is a good guy. And I said, Butch, where is the best hamburgers? He goes, well, first I had to get an interpreter because I couldn't understand him. And he says, there is a gas station down here. And I says, okay, that sounds good already. Because he's not talking about a restaurant. He says, now there's a gas station down here, and behind there, there's a guy has just a barbecue thing. Do you understand? I says, yeah, I understand what a barbecue is. He goes, now, it's nothing real special, but they make the greasiest hamburgers with pig feet on it. I said, pig feet? I'm not that. I may not be too intelligent, but pig feet would probably be bacon hanging out the side. Look like a pig. We had some of those hamburgers. I know they weren't healthy because they were delicious and they were thick. And I praise God for people that have that insight. Yesterday we went to the fair. I was with Gerald. If you can keep up with Gerald, you're doing amazing. We were talking about age, and we just had a great time over there. And several of you were there, but I predominantly ran with Gerald the whole time. I mean, literally, we ran. That's no pun intended. We ran up and down throughout the car. We called it the carny, and with gypsies. But I didn't see no gypsies yesterday, and that's a good ministry because we're to reach everyone. Everyone. We're not to pick out what fish we're going to fish and what fish we're not. I like all fish. All fish is good. I really like fish when it still has the eye and the tail on it. If you don't eat fish like that, you're not eating fish. Because the more hands that touch anything, the less flavor it has. And that's why we got to be very careful when we preach the Word of God, that we preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, and that we don't touch it too much and just let it speak for itself. This morning, as you can see up here, it says, facing the task that's unfinished. Jesus came for one purpose. To reach the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. So his interest was in people. I have a little saying is, care, concerned about reaching everyone. Not just some people, not just teenagers, not just adults, not just this ethnic group, but everyone. Everyone, everywhere, all the time. So whether I'm going to a fair, whether I'm going downtown, whether I'm going to a rest home, whether I'm going to a jail, whether I'm going to North Carolina, whether I'm going to Costa Rica, or whether I am in California, wherever I'm at, I am called to reach people because I'm concerned. My interest, I heard here in the East, you're like a lot of college sports. I like college sports for one reason. They're not paid. So they play. They're not like these other groups that, you know, where they're professional and they select what they want to do. At college sports, they're still trying to get to where they're going. And we have not obtained yet. Paul tells us we haven't reached We haven't attained yet. We still have a mission. There's an unfinished task. And every one of us is responsible in doing something to complete that task. So we have an interest. An interest is a concern. It's something that captivates you. I guarantee you in North Carolina, more people were viewing college football yesterday than anything else. Because that's the concern. That is the interest. Then after the interest, there comes an involvement. See, we have to be interested in order to become involved. So if you don't have no interest for the things of God, you're not going to get involved. I believe Gerald is interested in the things. All these young ladies that I served with yesterday, all these young ladies that we served together yesterday, there was an interest, so there was an involvement. You should have seen them yesterday in the kitchen over there preparing. There's two things that are very important in every church, the pulpit and the kitchen. And those of you that are in the ministry or just starting in the ministry, I would recommend highly that you understand the importance of the kitchen and food. Because everything is revolved around food. The spiritual food and the physical food. You want to connect with people? Most people communicate, Pastor, but they don't connect. And there's a difference between communicating and connecting. So we see that there is a concern. We see that there is an interest. We see that there's an involvement. But what I want us to understand is there's an investment. I don't know about you, but I like investing in things. But I like investing in things that have eternal value. I don't want to place my life or involve my life in something that can just be for a temporary time. And there's nothing wrong with having things. But things are things. And things clutter up your life. I don't know about you. How many of you have ever met someone? I've run across one or two people that are possessed by bad spirits. Anybody's ever run? I had a lady jump up on my desk. I would say she's possessed by a bad spirit. She jumped up on my desk. She was foaming at the mouth. Her eyes were rolling around. She was screaming and yelling. It took about five or six guys to get off. I would say there's some type of possession there. But I know a whole world that's possessed by possessions. They live for things. I'm not that old, but I've been around the block a few times. Things don't bring joy. Positions do not bring joy. Possessions do not bring joy. What brings joy is serving God. I did a conference for a friend of mine on grieving. And I've had some. My son was taken home to be with the Lord. He had leukemia after 4 years on the mission field. And then the Lord took him home, and we purchased property. So I know a little bit about grieving, but I have the joy. And a little boy came up to me about 3 weeks ago. He says, Brother Bordell, he goes, you're the happiest man I've met that had such a miserable life. I says, you caught it. Life is not easy. However, God is gracious, and God is good. So this morning we're going to look at interest, involvement, and investment. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, well-known text for missionaries. It's good to see the diversity here in the church. You have folks that are young, you have teenagers, you have children, you have nursery, you have folks that are older, you have folks that are involved, you have folks that are interested. I saw a lot of food coming in here. I'm looking forward. There you go, talking about food again. I don't know about you. Food, fun, and fellowship, that's the basic things that we have in common. So as we look this morning in the text spiritually, I want us to get a better concept of what mission is as we seek to facing the task that's unfinished. It's not over. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I'm probably the most aggressive individual when it comes to visitation. I believe on one-on-one confrontation. I'll talk to anybody. When I was with Gerald yesterday, he said, I can't believe you could just walk up to somebody and start talking to them about anything. It's easy. It's about people. Jesus did the same. It didn't matter where he went. There's not a certain time of fellowship. There's not a certain time of visitation. There's not a certain time. It's always the right time and the right place to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Many times we will see that it's not convenient. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Luke, chapter 5. If something comes out of my mouth you don't understand, it's because I just preached in Spanish. I'll be preaching tonight in Spanish. So I sometimes get a little confused with the vocabulary and some of my pronunciation. So if you want to critique my grammar, go ahead, just write it down and put it in a box. It's outside the door, and I'll be more than glad to get it the next time that I come by, all right? So the Bible says in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both ships, so that they began to sink. I was wondering myself when the net broke, how many fish got away? I don't know about you. When I go fishing, I want to catch fish and I want to keep fish. And when I go fishing, I don't just fish for one certain. I don't care what kind of fish that comes up. I want to catch something. I always have a purpose in everything that I do. And you should have the same purpose. If you're interested in football, you should play football 100%. I don't believe in this. Nobody wins. Everybody wins. And everybody loses. No. One person wins and someone loses. And it's not easy in life. However, we need to continue. So we see these ships, they're filled and begin to sink. And when Simon saw it, verse 8, he said, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishers, and they had taken. And so was James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to the land, they, what's the next word? Forsook what? All. And followed him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this past week, for the seed that was sown, the harvest that was brought in. We thank you for the privilege to serve thee. And as we begin this new week, as we begin this conference, I pray and ask, Lord, that you'd help us to gain a better understanding of our purpose here. Lord, help us to care about people. Help us to concentrate and be concerned about the needs. I heard many prayer requests this morning, as well as this past week. I've seen many difficult situations. I think of this family that's going through a separation. Never easy. Always difficult. I pray and ask, Lord, that we would be concerned about them. That we would bring them before thy throne, praying for them. I pray that we'd be reaching out with a desire to help people, because everyone is very important to thee. Help us this morning, Lord, to focus on what we're interested in. Help us to involve ourselves in that which captivates our interest. Then help us to invest in that which has eternal value. Bless now this Sunday school hour. I pray that each one of us would open our hearts, our heads, and our hands to do something profitable for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I like what the Bible says. He was interested in reaching people. The people were interested in hearing the word of God. People want what we have. Don't be fooled. People want what we have. They need what we have. And we are the answer to their needs. If we're not interested in reaching people, no one is going to reach them. The world's concerned about reaching them. The world's concerned about reaching the young people. That's why it's very important that we have young people activities. That's very important that we have mission trips. That's very important that we have things that are focused towards young people. But then again, we got to be concerned about couples. And we got to be concerned about the elderly. So everyone is important. The interest should be broad. And we should be concerned about doing what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. It's not about me. It's not about you. It never was and never will be. Many times people are concerned about doing their own program. They're so concerned about setting an image. My only desire is that they may hear, that they may come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the only desire I have. There is no fortune, no fame that we need in this world. It's interested in doing the Father's will. I came, he that sent me, to do the Father's will, not my own will. And I look around and I see people, they're concerned about doing their own program. I don't want to do my own program. There's one mission, and God gave it to us. There's only one mandate, and that's go. Where? Into all the world. Not into part of the world. It says, we go to all the world. Whether it be here in North Carolina, or here in the United States, or abroad to England, or whether it be up to Wisconsin, or whether it be over to California, which is another country in and of itself, or down to Costa Rica, or to Japan. We're to go into all the world and reach all the people. That is the interest of God Almighty. That's why he sent his son. That's why there's a missions conference. I am in the uttermost parts of the world, North Carolina. I am completely out of my element. I believe when I leave here, I'll be walking like this. Except Gerald's with me. Then I'll be walking like this. Everything moves slow here. I like it. But I'm used to running 724 at a pace that's unbelievable. But if you come to Costa Rica, you say, I'm in the uttermost parts of the world. That's my Jerusalem. Oh, I love eating in a muffler. What do you call them? Muffler shop. I love eating in a muffler shop. You say, really? I like it when she makes her tortillas like this. You say, oh, you got to be kidding. You don't know how the lady's making the North Carolina barbecue. You don't know what's going in there. So many times what we have this preconceived idea, we're concerned about ourselves instead of being concerned about individuals. I started a Bible study on the south side of the city, and they offered me some coffee. I said, sure, I'll be more glad to have a cup of coffee. Well, they were looking. When we have coffee, we don't have percolators over there. We have just a little bag, and you grind up the coffee bean and put it inside the little bag and pour hot water over it. That's the concept of a percolator. Before these percolators came out, that's how everybody made coffee. Well, they couldn't find the little bag. So she says, vaya en busca en la media de su papá. If you understand Spanish, go and look for your father's sock. Oh boy, was that interesting. When she brought that sock, I'm looking, I'm thinking, I hope it's clean, and I hope it's thin, and I hope there's no toenails or toe jams in it. And I hope the water is really hot, and they don't serve me a big proportion, because if I don't drink it, I'm going to offend them. Say, well, I'm going to offend them. Well, forget about them receiving you anymore. That's like coming to North Carolina not eating a barbecue. I ain't eating that garbage. Well, they give me your plate. My motto is, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. As you can see, I've held true to my motto. We're too concerned or too interested in ourselves than about other people. I'm not going to go walk with those carny people. You used to walk in the fair. I'm not going to go knock on doors. I was up in the north part of North Carolina. Knocked on the front door, they didn't answer the front door. I heard somebody in the back. I could have got shot. As soon as I saw them, they saw me. I'm from the church. Don't shoot me. He said, come on by. And I went on back and talked to him for a half an hour. I am going to reach somebody. I'm not going to just knock on a door. Nobody's home. Well, let's put a track in there. Knock on another door. Nobody's home. I'm interested in talking to people. I'm not interested in getting out of visitation. I'm interested. I don't walk up that long driveway to knock on a door so nobody answers the door. I'm looking forward. And when they peek out, I'm peeking in. Why? I was in Chicago preaching. And I heard a testimony of a very prominent businessman that was a bus kid. Says, here comes those people from that Bible college and that church, and they're looking at the mailbox and they close it. But the persistency, every week, that bus worker knocking on the door brought them in to church. They got involved in the Sunday school. They got involved in the Christian school. Now they're involved in the church. He gave me this tie. I wore it today for a purpose. This is a nice tie. Very nice tie. I didn't know it was a very nice tie until the pastor says, Brother Bordell, that's a nice tie. I says, really? Yeah, take good care of it. I says, okay. The name of it is Cornelinia. I checked it online. This is a $300 tie. Aren't you impressed? It's probably the most delicate tie that you can. I would never buy one of these. Even if I had the money, I wouldn't buy it. You put it in a suitcase, it comes out like it was in a suitcase. Those 1995 ties are nice. Because you can fold them up and wash them, and they still come out looking nice. See, you got interested in what I was saying when you're talking about money. Are you with me? Or did I lose you? Because I'm telling the truth. When we talk about, nice tie, $300. Now you're going to remember the missionary with a $300 tie. Yeah. Comes from door knocking. Interested in people. What's the Bible say? Go fishing and get the coin out of their mouth. I was telling the pastor and one of the other missionaries, when I went to the mission field, I went with 50% support. But the buildings that you'll see, they value over several million dollars. And all the people that you see just in that one work came because there's people like this church here that are interested in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. If you're starting a church, when you get to England, the first thing you should do is support a missionary. Say, nah, I don't believe in that. Then you're not believing in the local church. Because it comes from the blessings of God. God will provide what you need. And I say that with experience after 35, 40 years, seeing those that support and don't support missions. So the interest is in souls. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse 3, it says, and he entered into one of the ships. Now, you got to remember, these guys were out fishing all night. It's never convenient. It's never convenient to go to the fair. It's never convenient to pass out tracts. It's never convenient to come to prayer. It's never convenient to come to Sunday school. It's never convenient. But sometimes, it's always convenient to do what we want to do, isn't it? To go shopping, to watch whatever. There's always time for ourselves. But when it comes to the things of God, it's not the right time, Pastor. It's not the right time, Brother Boy. You don't understand my schedule. Then reschedule your schedule. Right. We need to always have time for God. That's right. Because I think there's a Bible verse that says, he must have the preeminence in what? All things. That's pretty conclusive. We go to all the world, not just one segment of the world, but to all the world. I'm glad I'm not going to England. God bless you, brother. And I'm sure you're probably glad you're not living in Costa Rica, where we have active volcanoes. I'll show you a picture on my iPhone. Volcano 60 kilometers, the way the bird fly erupted, 25,000 feet in the air. Caused me problems with taking off in a plane. Ash all over the nursery and all over the floor. Respiratory problems with people in the church. Everybody has something going on somewhere. But God has something going on everywhere. It's called missions. Reaching people for Jesus Christ. So it's never convenient. The problem is we don't like getting committed. How many of you like to be committed? That's why we raise our hand. How many of you are ex-military? Oh, I was in the first IDF. No mission too difficult, no sacrifice too great, duty first. Had a big red one over here. You ever seen Big Red One? I didn't quite understand. As a 17-year-old kid, I didn't understand what the Big Red One stood for. Until I started to analyze and I asked someone, and I says, what does it mean? We're the only ones. There's only us in the 82nd that have a colored a patch. Says, well, first, number one, you're first to go in battle. That makes sense. That's the one. Then, you know, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm in the drawer. Red? Would that be blood? You got it. Instead of being a coward and saying, wow, I'm going to die first. I said, man, I'm in a unit that's willing to do whatever necessary, wherever, whenever, for the liberty of the United States. So once I got converted, once I got saved, once I got involved in the things of God, I was considering my life or his life. See, there's a selection that we have to come to, a decision that we have to make. Am I going to get involved or I'm not going to get involved? Those ladies that were making the sandwiches yesterday, they'd make three, eat one. They'd make three, eat one. No. They'd make them and stack them and stack them and putting the water in there. We're going to get the ice. And Gerald's just running around and I'm trying to catch. He's the fastest North Carolinian I've seen. We went and got ice, went and got some chicken. Got over there. He says, okay, let's load up the cart. And we loaded up the cart and we started to walk around and passing out bottles. That's called involvement. And we stayed there, and the ladies stayed there. And it was just good to see how God blessed. We'll have no idea, only in eternity, what took place yesterday. See, some planteth, some watereth, and God gives what? The increase. But somebody has to plant, and someone has to water, and God will give the increase. These men were fishing all night. They caught nothing. I'm sure they were a little frustrated. I'm sure they were weary. They toiled all night. I'm sure they were exhausted. They had an excuse. We're fishermen, and you're just the Son of God. Many times, don't we believe that we know more than God? How many of you are like that? You think you know more than God? And then God has a way of humiliating us. That's why I like waking up early in the morning. Early in the morning is before the sun rises. Right, Robert? No, in my case, right? Yeah. I woke Robert up this morning, opening up his front door while it was still dark. I was going to go find a Dunkin' Donuts to get some coffee. Amen. And he finally woke up, Gerald. Amen? No. Been up ever. So he heard me get up, and he ran out. He was interested in taking care of his guests. He went out and says, I got some coffee. Well, that's music to your ears. If you don't drink coffee, I feel bad for you. You probably should see me, and I'll tell you a little bit about Plan of Salvation, all right? And Robert and I, we got up and we fellowshiped this morning. Well, that was good, Robert, but I do that every morning with God, wake up and fellowship in his word. And I like to have my coffee. That causes an interest in me. And when I think of who gave us the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, I look out and see the trees and see the purpose, because there is a purpose in life. And it's not accumulating things. It's laying up things in heaven. So we went from interest to involvement. Now we see that Simon Peter, he's now getting involved. And it says in verse 4, it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. So there's just a little bit more of a thrust. What we're doing now is good, but we can always do just a little bit more. We can go a little bit further. We can take a little bit more time, because our involvement will bring investments. And the Bible goes on to tell us in verse 5, says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master. I like that respond, Master. Master is a position. Master. Who's your master? Who's my master? We all have masters. Say, I don't have master. Yes, you do. You're your own master. And that's very dangerous. See, Simon understood master, or let's say teacher. Who's teaching you? Are you teachable? The older I get, the more I want to learn. I can learn a lot. I learned a lot off of that little boy. It says, you're a happy guy for having such a miserable life. I'm thinking to myself, you caught it. Do people look at you and say, boy, you're... Where is she? I saw her. She's probably out serving somewhere. She's 81 years old. The greeter. What's her name? Betty. I saw her getting out of the car with so much energy. I says, how you doing today? She goes, doing good. She goes, how are you doing? I says, oh, I'm doing really good. I says, even though I'm older than you. She goes, ha ha, you know how old I am? I said, no, I don't. She started telling me, 81 years old. What are you doing? I'm here. I'm the greeter of the church. I'm thinking to myself, what is she? Is she family of Gerald or what? All right. And we walked in together. And she just started moving around. I says, boy, at 70, if I'm even standing up, I'll be praising the Lord. And she grabs a window cleaner. And I saw her cleaning the window. I said, my grandfather taught me, never let us. She goes, you're not taking this blessing from me. You know what she's doing? She's investing. When you walk through those doors, when I walk through those doors, there's people like Betty, there's people like Joe, there's people like your pastor, there's people like you that are doing something for the cause of Christ. There's people that are investing in eternity. See, it's not to impress people. It's to invest in people. Many times if we're not careful, we're trying to impress someone instead of invest in someone. I want to invest in people. Why? Because the master, my teacher, has invested in me. Now it's my responsibility to carry it on, the continuation, pastor, to reproduce other churches that we may reach the world for Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing, investing. Not only did he say quickly, as we are closing up on time, verse 5 says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. You see, he's going for an excuse, but he goes on to say, I understand your position, and I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we see the priority is the word of God. Not only the position of who he is, but the word should have a priority in our life. Is the word of God a priority for you and I? I have three things I always tell people. Pray, read your Bible, and listen. And listen. And listen. Most people aren't listening. It's almost like I can hear the trumpet. When I read the Bible, it says characteristics of end times. Look around. You think Jesus is coming soon? Real soon. My question is, are we interested in his second coming? Are you ready? If he came today, would you be happy? Well, happy or not, he's coming. I can't control that. I just need to be ready. Am I involved? I would like to say that I'm involved in the ministry. I preached last week. I saw folks saved. I preached the week before. I preached the previous week. I've been out on visitation. I've been to the fair. I'll continue to be on visitation. I'll continue to be witnessing. I'll continue to be investing in people. Because I am going like you. One day we're going to live on the other side in heaven. See, we never die. We just change places. That's why I like that song, This World Is Not My Home. I'm just a passing through. Somebody asked me up there, they says, where are you from? But they said it in a different language. I says, well, what do you mean? Where were you born at? I said, well, I was born in Western Pennsylvania, got saved in California, and serving in Costa Rica. Boy, you sure get around. I said, well, I got a mission. I got a purpose. I got a mandate. We all do. We all do. Who or what were you interested in last week? What or with who were you involved? Visitation? Sports? What did you invest in last week? Think about it. Those are three good, honest questions. Interest, involvement, investment. Your pastor lived in California for some years, up there in the valley, in Santa Clara. A place where we used to rent while we were stationed out of that area, while I started some Spanish works up there in Northern California. You ever heard of a place called Facebook? You familiar with that? It's a little small company, about 3 miles long. You ever heard of Google? That's all within a mile, mile and a half. You ever heard of Intel? Makes the chips? I'm not trying to insult you. I remember when they were startup companies. How many of you would have liked to buy some stock in Facebook when it was startup? Huh? All right. Well, I got a book you can get invested in. It's called The Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Facebook's coming and it's going. If you want to put your face in a book, put it in this book. And I'm not preaching against Facebook. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is, make sure where you're placing your interest and your involvement, it's a good investment. Because this is only a temporary life. Pastor Raven's son's wife's brother was the Shelby police officer that was killed last week. One of the key members of, one of the founding members of the church went home to be with the Lord. Raping. The testimony that people gave about him, the investment, he's now living in eternity. Do you think he wants to come back here? No. In fact, he's saying, I wish you were here. Some of you wish you were there too. I'm not. I'm having so much fun here in this earth suit, because that's what it is, the flesh. Serving God. I had a good time yesterday with those young ladies and Gerald. Because what we did, we invested. And only in heaven will really understand what took place. I don't know who took one of those Bibles at this morning, reading it in her trailer. AJ, from New York City, 24-year-old girl, working a stand that had fishbowl, said, how do you know her name's AJ? Well, I have a tongue and I have a little bit of ability to talk. I talked to her. I says, what are you doing here? I says, you're too young to be working in the carnival. Not that you and I are better than carnival people, but what are you doing here? Have you gone to school? I graduated from high school. She goes, it's an experience. I says, well, don't get too much experience from here, because you may end up in a place, a destination where you don't want to go. Because the decisions that we make today determine the direction where we're going, and that takes us to a destination. And don't let the world fool you by the things that it throws out at you. All the time, I have people saying things. I had a gentleman that says, I have some property. I want you to build some condos on it in Costa Rica, and I'll subsidize your ministry, and we'll even put a little church there, and you can have this. I'm not involving myself in a business. I'm not to entangle myself in the cares of this world. I don't want to be watching condos prices going up and then the recession coming down. I'm looking up. But I'm called to go into all the world. You can't go, but you can go here. Are you interested? Yes. Are you involved? Yes. Are you investing? Yes. Praise God. If you're not interested, then get interested. If you're interested but not involved, get involved. And if you're interested and involved, you don't have to worry about investing. Because the Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also. Learn something in Sunday school? Did you catch it? Huh? Okay. Okay, if you catch it, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. You think they were happy? You ever see anybody that catches no fish? How do they walk? And somebody that has all the fish here. Close with this illustration. We're in Western Pennsylvania, and the pastor says, you folks would like to do something? I says, is there any ponds close around here? He says, yeah. He goes, would you like to go fish? I says, sure. So I took my three kids, Edward, Daniel, Beth Ann. I told them how to fish. Edward kept throwing it in, pulling it out, didn't catch anything. Daniel kept throwing it in, pulling it out. I said, Beth Ann, do your daddy a favor and do yourself a favor. Let the bobber just sit there. And when you see it move, just yank it and you'll catch a fish. She waited 5-10 minutes. They threw it in 10-15 minutes. I told them, I says, kids, move down to the other side. Let your sister and I here. You're scaring away the fish. All of a sudden, she started pulling out fish, and they come walking down. And she's pulling it out. She's like, look what I caught. She listened. And she threw it back in, waited another 10 minutes, and they're still throwing it out, in and out, in and out. And I says, if you'd listen, you'd catch something. At the end of the day, she caught 5 fish. She was happy. And to this day, she still says, you remember! And they don't remember. Because people don't like remembering bad times. Remember, decisions here set the direction here to your final destination. My final destination, like yours, is heaven. And when we get there, how many Filipinos, how many Chinese, how many Vietnamese, how many African Americans, how many North Carolinians, how many Costa Ricenses, how many will be saying, thank you for passing me out of track. Thank you for knocking on my door. Thank you for investing in missions. Because we invest in Costa Rica in missions. We did 3 church plants last year here in the States. We buy 3 things, and I'm going to close with this. We buy chairs, we buy tracts, and we buy offering plates for new churches. Tracts to bring them in, to set them down, to get money, to send more out. What a great investment. There's nothing greater than investing in the Lord's work. Like I said, I'm not the sharpest knife, but I'm in the drawer. Chairs for the sinner, tracts for the sinners, and offering plates for the saints to send out more. Baptists don't lie. You know that? We as Baptists, we don't lie. We just sing them. All to Jesus I surrender. The only song that we sing that we don't lie, I wish I had given him more. So much, the more. You can. All you have to do is rearrange, readjust your interests. Put a little bit more time in your involvement. Invest a little bit more. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And then, if you're already doing a little bit, thrust out a little bit more. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your grace and your goodness, your mercy. I think of these prayer requests, the needs that exist. I think of the heartache and sorrow that exists here in the church as well as in this community and around this nation. We're so interested in elections. You're in control of all that. We're so involved in things that really don't have any eternal value. And our investments sometimes take us or distract us from doing your perfect will. We see Simon Peter, he was willing to make a sacrifice in a situation that was overwhelming. And Lord, we see the surplus where he had to call and beckon for partners. Help us, Lord, this morning, this week, to focus on our interest, our involvement, and our investment for the cause of Christ. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your goodness. I pray and ask that you bless every class, every individual here in this church, in this ministry, that we would understand that we must have an interest in the things of Thee. We must be involved in the things of Thee. And we have the privilege to invest in the things of Thee. The only things that really have an importance in eternity. We love you, we thank you, and praise you for your grace and goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.